Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. I love to travel and I love to eat, but finding really amazing places to eat while I'm traveling can be tricky. Suzanne Podheiser is a food writer for 7 Days, and she recently had a wonderful trip to Portugal that included some incredible dining. So this subject is fresh in her mind. Suzanne, welcome back to the VPR Cafe.
Thank you, Rick.
All right. Am I right that your overall mantra for this is plan ahead?
Well, that's definitely one of them. And I kind of generally have the idea that a little bit of planning can help you to make sure that you have really good options. The goal behind the planning isn't to lock you in. It's to give you some choices so that if you get hungry, you know that there are places that you can go that you're going to enjoy.
You also talk about knowing yourself. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, everybody wants different things out of a restaurant experience. So to assume that what I want when I go out to eat is the same thing that you want would probably be somewhat mistaken. And so if you know your own kind of culinary desires, then you can articulate them to other people and ask for recommendations for the kinds of places that you actually want to go. You know, one of the things is that when you're traveling, you don't necessarily speak the language. You want to be able to convey really simply what you're looking for, because something that can happen is that you ask, say, the concierge at a hotel for a restaurant recommendation, and they point you to the nearest tourist trap. And so that's kind of one of the things you can avoid by saying, I want to go to a restaurant that serves seafood, I want it to be in this price range, and I want it to be somewhat casual because I'm going to be dressed for strolling.
Now, why do you advise against tourist traps, and how can you spot them?
Places that are catering to tourists are often focused on things like getting people in and out quickly, being at a particular price point. They're not necessarily focused on getting the best of what's available in that region. And so they might use more frozen goods. They might try to dull flavors down to meet the palates of whoever might walk in. So although those places can be kind of really safe options, they're often not the most enticing options. You can spot them by looking for places that serve, say, almost all American dishes when you're in a foreign country. That's not a place that's making the specialties of the region, obviously. And so if you see a huge menu, that's another good indicator, because to be able to make 95 different dishes, you usually can't have a lot of fresh products on hand for all of them.
How much does the history or culture of an area play in informing our choices?
For me, it plays into it a lot, because what I'm looking for when I travel is eating experience that kind of really represents the place that I'm visiting. And that can be at any price level. So in Portugal, they eat lots of sardines, and you can go on the street and you can buy a grilled sardine and it's going to be entirely wonderful. What I do is do a little bit of historical research on the dishes of the place that I'm going to visit and kind of what is in season at the time that I'm going to be there. And I kind of make a hot list of things that I want to try. So again, in Portugal, cod is kind of their national food. They joke that they have 365 different ways to prepare cod. So I was on the lookout for cod dishes while I was there. I knew that figs were in season, so I was on the lookout for figs.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm speaking with Suzanne Podheiser, a food writer for 7 Days. We're discussing finding amazing restaurants while traveling. Suzanne, what can we learn online that helps us when we're traveling?
So I think the internet is probably the most amazing tool that we have for, you know, finding great restaurants when we're on the road. So what you can do once you've identified your own preferences and also looked into the foods of the region that you're looking for, you can use those things as search terms and look on, say, Yelp or other restaurant sites, and you can say, okay, I know I want seafood restaurants because I'm going to Portugal. So you look for the top seafood restaurants. And then you can also take, there are blogs out there where people who love to travel have gone to the city that you're going to and they've talked about it. So you can then take those and you can say, all right, I trust this person's opinion because I've read a few of their blog posts and they seem to be in line with my taste. So I'm going to kind of take those kinds of things, the restaurant rating sites and the kind of more personal blog sites, and I'm going to kind of collate them and come up with a list of restaurants that I may want to visit.
So if a restaurant gets high ratings, I put them high on my list.
Not necessarily. I mean, for one thing, there's the budget. A lot of the highly rated restaurants could be really expensive. And given that there are always places to eat for, a reasonable dollar amount, you can kind of balance that out. So you can say, I really want to go to the place that serves the best cod, and there's a place that serves, you know, wonderful cod that costs $10 an entree. And so high ratings and expensiveness aren't necessarily the major qualifiers in my decisions. It's really kind of the essence of the place and what it's offering. It's important that people stay within their own comfort zones, and some people just don't enjoy fancier restaurants. So if that's not your thing, then, you know, picking the Michelin-starred place might not be for you, and there might be a casual mom-and-pop place around the corner that's totally perfect for you.
Do you make a list of specific foods or dishes that you want to try?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Literally, I usually make a hot list of 100 dishes that I want to try or 100 foods I want to try and see how many of them I can hit while I'm there. So that's just a little project or like game that I play.
How much does where you're staying or what you're going to see play into helping you choose places to eat?
Actually, a lot, because it can be really overwhelming to try to choose from 1,000 restaurants in a particular city. So I use my other activities as an anchor. So say I know I'm going to a particular museum in a neighborhood, I'll start the search for restaurants with the neighborhood and then combine that with what I know I'm looking for. And that helps me to narrow it down. When you're in a city that spans miles and miles, you might not want to travel across the entire city to get a meal. There might be a perfectly wonderful experience, you know, 4 blocks from the hostel that you're staying at. And so I like to use those things. Like on Tuesday, I'm going to the Botanical Garden. Here are the restaurants in that vicinity.
Okay. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to share a couple of those culinary highlights of your trip to Portugal.
The highlights can really span a lot of different kinds of experiences. So one of the highlights was buying figs on the street corner. They were fresh figs. It was the kind of early summer fruit season. On the other side, I went to the restaurant that's considered to be the best restaurant in Lisbon. It's called Bel Canto. One of the courses that was really fun were these huge prawns. They bring you one huge prawn, and it's on a plate, and you kind of have to pick it up with your fingers and eat it. And because you're in such a fancy environment, it feels a little, you know, it's extra exciting to pick food up with your fingers like you're at a barbecue. And then when you finish the shrimp, they bring you the shrimp's head, which they've been keeping hot in a salt crust, and they take off this lid, and then you get to pick up the shrimp's head and suck the brains out of it.
Wow. That makes me want to go to Portugal right now. Suzanne Podheiser is a food writer for 7 Days. Thanks for joining us at the VPR Cafe.
Thanks, Rick.